Hello and welcome to Trusty Chords, where I, Tyler Janke, get to know musicians a little bit better. Alongside a casual chat each week, I like to go deep on influences, adopting the music theory of a standard chord to ask my guest about one artist that has influenced them, three albums they deem impactful, and five songs they can always turn to. It's fun, intriguing, and often a little bit surprising, but that's exactly what I love about music here at Trusty Chords.
We exercised the dirt bike option. We took the liberty of just, well, dropping in. We left our leathers and our cameras and our helmets on the lawn outside. We took directions from the service station. The dude said you never bother trying to fit in. He had his theories, but he wasn't gonna waste them on the likes of us. Ooh, the dirt bike option paid off. We never settled workers that we laid off. They said they'd see us in arbitration to visit building our dirt bike nation. Kawasaki, Yamaha, who needs a car? We exercised the dirt bike option. We kept the keys all together in a jam tin. Feds came a knocking, we were blocking all the exit routes. A little wood, a little Carol, and a matchstick. I got the wives, I got the whole Messiah complex. And when it burns, we'll be turning up in heaven, and the dream will shine. Ooh, the dirt bike option paid off. We never settled with the workers that we laid off. They said they'd see us in arbitration to visit building our dirt bike nation. Kawasaki, Yamaha, who needs a car? With that kind of action, with that kind of action, with that kind of action, with that kind of action. Action, action. Dirt bike option. We got the contract signed with a felt pen. And when a night pulling tight and my baby, well, you know she knows. Ooh, the dirt bike option paid off. We never settled with the workers that we laid off. They said they'd see us in arbitration to visit building our dirt bike nation.
The dirt bike option.
Oh,
great song. Which, do you know which video game Ted was playing when he exercised that option?
No, I remember, but I remember where I heard the line. We played a festival in Batemans Bay, and I just remember him talking to somebody about some computer game and talking about exercising the dirt bike option, and I just loved that line, and I just remembered it. And turned it into a song.
You're such a bower bird.
Yeah.
That's what we love you. You pick up these references. That's great.
Yeah. So, yeah. I'm not sure if Ted would remember what the game was, but I just remember thinking that's hilarious, him talking to some random dude about exercising the dirt bike option.
I love it.
Was it a 1,000-yard stare off cut, or was it a?
Yeah.
It wasn't a demo.
Thousand-yard stare. So one that we may have recorded properly from memory for possibly, Yeah, I can't remember if it was recorded at Ted's or if we recorded it in the studio. We must have recorded it in the studio. No, we maybe recorded it at Hot House. Gee, maybe it was a demo for Universal, actually. So pre-Thousand Yard Stare, that's actually probably what it was, yeah. Yeah, I think it might have been from that period when we were doing those demos in Hot House Studios in St Kilda.
So you mean the first 6 months of 99, like before you could walk?
Yeah, I think so, yeah, yeah.
Just more evidence that they were crazy to let you go, Coxie.
Welcome back to Foves Are the Best People. I'm your host, John, and joining me is Michael. Hello, Michael.
Oh, hello again there, John, and hello to all us wonderful Foves fans, listeners.
What song are we reviewing this episode?
Once again, one of my top favourites, the Dirt Bike Option. Is it the Dirt Bike Option or just Dirt Bike Option? I can't remember.
According to Prefer Others, where it is track number 3, and it's also track 3 on the single of Celebrate the Failure, Michael. So the power of 3, power of 3 while I'm looking at my notes. It is the Dirt Bike Option.
Mm-hmm.
This was released, by the way, the single in August 2000, and this song is excellent. Is this song also Madeline's second favourite, Michael? After Greek Aesthetic?
Yeah, I never got the order. I know that both of them are favourites. I don't know which is number one or two or three or whatever, but definitely she's been wanting it for over for years. I'm sure we've got a sample of when finally Coxie listened to her requests without the doctor. They played it as a free three-piece live and Power of Three. There you go again. Mm. And, she was quite happy, and we were lucky to hear it again live as an acoustic version, which is phenomenal. Yeah. And out of those two times when I heard them live, that's when I started liking the song. I never originally liked it much because I just felt maybe the keyboards aren't too bad, but it's just when Ted came in and did the high vocals, it just sort of ruined it for me. But then when they performed it live, he wasn't doing that. I went, actually, this song's really, really bloody good. And hearing Ted up front with his bass with no keyboards or second guitar to sort of smother him, not that he gets smothered in the original anyway, that's the beauty of this song. And this is why I'd love for them to perform more obscure songs live. They have done it over the years, but maybe one of those songs I don't like, they play it live and then all of a sudden I love it. Oh, that's like Yo-Yo Craze when they just play it acoustically, no keyboards, no backing. It works beautiful. And same with Valerie, that works beautiful just as an acoustic song. So there you go.
When they pulled this out at the ESPY, I was like, my jaw dropped. I was like, oh my God, that's terrific. I thought maybe doctors should get sick or go on a golf trip more often, because bringing out these curios was amazing. Yeah.
It was.
I had a smile from ear to ear when I heard the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Where do you want to start, Michael? The lyrics or music?
Let's see. I will go through get into the music to say that, first of all, the structure's simple, punchy, one of those ones that comes. We took the straight in, no intro, just verse, chorus, verse, chorus, bridge, verse, chorus. You cannot get simpler than that. It doesn't even, I love it. And I mean, sort of like an outro at the end.
Which I think is the same as the bridge, isn't it? Or no, maybe.
Option.
Well, just G and then B flat.
Yes, in structure terms, yes, that's correct.
Yeah.
And it's just the really sort of a dirty, thin kind of guitar distorted sound. So when and it's good because it's just something different. And hearing that, say, fit on an album for Thousand Yard Stare, it would work because they're all different sort of sounds, or they could production it a bit closer to the other matching of the songs. Interesting, cheesy keyboard sound once again. It doesn't ruin the song. I love it. And I will give a full-on play of the bass player in a moment. He just picks the right spots. He just follows it along. And then it's just in the second verse, then he does something different. And then when they're getting the bridge, he just does a few feels. And it's the rest is just pretty much simplistic, following the guitars, the chord progression. And as I said, I just don't like it when Ted comes in second verse, high backing vocals.
Yeah.
And
a little carol and a matchstick. That bit?
Yeah, that bit.
Yeah, maybe it should have gone a break. Maybe they should have removed something, or maybe he should have gone a funny low harmony or something. Yeah, I think I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah. And when it's stripped down a bit more, that's why I started liking the song. And it could be that thing of when we talked about it on Long Load, at the time the record company wanted him to do something different, to add stuff to it. And then you were saying another band heard him play it live and go, it's much better the live version. And I agree. Like, but you're in a different boat. So it's all a matter of taste and what you're after. And that's why, listeners, we want to hear from you about the Dirt Bike option or any other songs about how we're saying we like these sorts of arrangements, whether you do or not, and why, or how beautiful that works, and I don't know, just stuff like that. But yeah, I guess I've really said, also when they played it live acoustic version with that he was just probably hadn't rehearsed, didn't know the lyrics, he doesn't perform it live very often, he goes, I forgot the words, Madeline, what do I see? And I just laughed when he said that. I think that's got to be up on YouTube between the two of us for his viewers to look that up. Dirt Bike Option, The Foes, I'm sure it'll pop up. But that's all I've got really to say about the song, except you'll hear my go of the bass line, what it does. What about you with the music?
Are you sure it's Ted doing the backing vocals? I was unsure. I thought it might be Coxie.
Is it? Oh, that's a good question.
You mean the bit, a little wood, a little carrow and a matchstick?
That bit?
Yeah.
I thought it was just, I'm not firmly committed to it, but I just assumed it sounded like Coxie hiring himself. Yeah, I don't know. Listeners, write in. Okay, so the guitar, Coxie says it's actually, would you believe it, in the CFC FCC tuning. The weird sky tuning from Charles Atlas and 74 Anymore and On the World's Last Day or whatever it was. But it's pretty much all in the key of G, the whole song. So in standard tuning, it's just the verse is just G. You know, the... Maybe it's trying to mirror the sound of a Kawasaki motorbike. I don't know. Anyway, it's just G. We left our leathers and our camera. It's so many bars of G and then D. Lawn outside D. And then the chorus is C. Oh, the dirt bike C paid off. We never settled with the workers that we laid off. G. Na 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 na. Arbitration. Just C and G, like bigger than Tina, really. And then
yeah, right.
B, C, B, Kawasaki, Yamaha, B, B, C. Who needs a car? And then the verse again, as you say, a simple, straightforward arrangement. And then the chorus. And then the bridge is just G, B flat,
C. Yeah. Yeah, and then the fill comes in, yeah.
A bit of a doctor progression. G, B flat, C. And then just a quick G, B flat, G, B flat, D.
Yeah. Yeah. Option.
That's nice. That's definitely a Ted. It's not a Jack line. Yeah, it's definitely Ted, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's, look, what I like, once again, this is a really good example about what Ted's doing, what he's done with this progression of the band. Jack's done some wild, amazing things that Ted just never does. I do when I play fretless bass like that, because you can't play it like that and sing. But just those, he's coming in the right moments. So he'll just play the root notes if he needs to. And when he's playing those root notes, he might go down those octaves lower on that five-string bass. This is why I'm all up for having five and six strings. When you've got those lower notes and those frequencies, they make a massive punch. You're the bottom end. So you do that, and the song has got all those frequencies and areas to move for the guitar, keyboard, vocal sounds and all that sort of stuff. So he does that job well. And then if he can put in a feel, he'll put it in the right part, and it's just very normal or, you know, standard, but it just works and I love it. And it's so much fun to play. And just even, we will get into it in years later when we talk about True Love Waits. Just in the one live version, they stop and he did this sort of slide, and he plays over a bit more and with the scales and that. And it's just so suited and well to these great songwriters. And that's just what they needed to move on to progress. Somebody who really enjoys playing it. He loves the friendship of the band, and you could, this is the beginnings of it, seeing it and me seeing him perform from 2000 onwards with the Fobes, or 99 actually, to be honest, and new albums. And then just, he's putting a few feels here and there on stuff that he normally didn't do on either the recording or on Jack's stuff, and just fits in amazingly nicely. I love it.
In the 90s, when we were in a van, the names would mutate constantly, and you're in a van for weeks and weeks and weeks together. I think at one point Phil was calling me time zone.
Yeah, he still does call you that occasionally, I think.
Yeah, it's just
trim.
It's just natural, trim code. You know, when you're with your mates and
the video game reference, time zone?
Yeah, the video game sort of parlor or whatever you'd call it.
Yeah.
Because video games come up a bit in the Fobes. The Dirt Bike Option was your video game that you were...
That was... We were touring with Custard, and they were on Sony, and they got given PS1s, the original grey PlayStations, which are awesome CD players if you can ever get one. And so we were playing some sort of motocross.
Was it? I know we played a lot of Wipeout.
We played a lot of Wipeout, but there was also some sort of motorbike game. And
that's right.
I remember saying to... Well, Coxie...
Was it Bateman's Bay, I think? Bateman's Bay or something.
Might have been Bateman's Bay. We were playing it after the gig. And I said, why don't you try the dirt bike option?
Yeah. I love that song, actually. That's one of my favourites.
I love it. It's a beauty,
Fucking hilarious lyrics.
That whole demo session at Hot House.
Yeah.
There's some killer stuff on that. Giving up drinking.
Yeah.
Getting to retail.
I liked your version.
Yeah.
It's very theatrical. Yeah, that was a killer. We did that to give to Universal when they bought Polydor.
Yeah, and, here you go. So spend another $180,000 on us. His dirt bike option. Needless
that
to say,
was to see if they wanted to keep us or not.
No, yeah. Crazy Night to Keep You, man. That's one of your great songs.
Well, when we heard it at the ESPY. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the only time live. That's the ESPY, 09, 10, whatever. As a three-piece.
Because, like, Time Zone was sort of a thing that came in where it made, like, video games sort of, like, surprisingly kid-friendly. Like, gave a rare, inviting atmosphere for video games. Because, like you said, normally you get, like, one of those arcade machines in a fish and chip shop.
Yep.
Or this dirty old fucking... pizza parlor where I would go in, and like if my parents ordered a pizza, I'd be like, oh, maybe I'll go and play a game, and go in there and there's just 17 year old thugs looking at you going, I'll fucking stab you in the neck if you try and come and play Double Dragon. You go, well, fuck, all right. It was just like a legitimately fucking super scary place to go to.
It's like the pool hall.
Exactly. Yes.
Like you'd get there and someone's put a dollar on the penny thing and you go, okay, yeah, you take that.
Place. Exactly. Now, there was no pool, and I don't think there was a pool table in Maribor that I can think of outside of a pub.
Should we move on to lyrics?
Yes, absolutely.
So because of all of its mention of sacking workers and everything, we can put this in the canon of, you know, I'll work when I'm dead, phasing you in. It's Coxie's commentary on industrial relations in a way, because for a man that's never actually had a real job apart from freelance translation, he seems to write a lot about imagining himself
as a worker or a boss or speakerphone too, you know?
Mm.
The origins of this story will include a clip when you and I interviewed Doug. And I think on the website many years ago, the title comes from Ted. Apparently on tour with Custard in 99, he mentioned he was playing a video game and he wanted to exercise the dirt bike option. And Coxie's like, that's such a good name. That's such a good line.
Ah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Because they used to call him, they used to call Ted Time Zone, apparently, because he spent a lot of time playing video games in Time Zone.
Ah.
But yeah, that's the link. Do you want to go through the lyrics line by line?
Yeah, go for it. Yeah, please.
So we exercised the dirt bike option. We took the liberty of just, well, dropping in. So that's a great example of Coxie sort of writing a line that you speak. Like you'd never write, we just dropped in. Like to write that in a lyric in a song is very good. It's not literate. It's like, it's an image of him speaking. Yes, that's good. We left our leathers and cameras and helmets on the lawn outside. So because later they're talking about the service station, maybe they've, you know, you have to take off your camera, you have to take off your helmet when you go into a 7-Eleven or something. So, or maybe there's that allusion to these people just disappeared and we found their leathers and cameras, maybe they're journalists outside and they were gone. Was it an alien abduction or were they taken out by the mob, Jimmy Hoffa, or they faked their own deaths? So it's like a little, the song's almost like a little screenplay or something about like a TV episode of some thriller or something. Then we took directions from the service station. The dude said you never bothered trying to fit in. So it sounds like there's a journalist who's come in, he's tracing a lead, like these missing people, these missing bicyclists, motorbike bikies, they've gone missing and now he's interviewing everything. He had his theories. This is the guy behind the counter, the checkout guy at 7-Eleven, but he wasn't going to waste them on the likes of us. And so if you got any comments on those verses?
It's like not a lot. I'm really leaving most of this to you. Yeah, it goes into, look, the main take up, well, when we get the next lot of lyrics, it just, well, imagery anyway, like not even all that, like just.
Does it make you laugh? Is it funny or is it just?
Yes.
What's going on in this song?
It's entertaining. And this is what I like it about when we're talking about these lyrics, any lyricists, writers, you've got some of those musicians and lyricists that really want to tell a story in so many different ways. And some of them stick to the similar type of genre. And I'm not talking about their style of music, but their lyricism. Like there might be somebody who's a humanitarian. So they're talking about the big world events, what's important. And that carries out through pretty much 90% or 100% of their songs. You got people that talk about their experiences and their stories to tell. And then you might get the odd one that's made up. But the Foves just can go in so many different ways. And a lot of them are made up. But I feel imagery, because we know Coxie is a very good writer in general and making things up on the spot, improvising and so underrated with his talent.
He picks up images from books and literature and current events. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Like when we talk about the Great Cathedral, I just look at like, this is imagery. This is just stuff from history this one, it's like a little wood, a little Kira and a matchstick, just imagery when it burns or things like that. What's going on? Kawasaki Yamaha, who needs a car, getting around that way. Directions from the service station, you never fit in, a bunch of delinquents or young kids or whatever, or young adults just doing things like burning stuff down or something. So where's it going? But he didn't need to have to tell a particular story, or he doesn't have to live it. He's never have to live it, just taking these things. And that's the beauty about it. And I would love to do that more. I suppose I do it in my music too, but it's usually like as a lyricist, it's just something that you've done or based off something and it goes into a story embellished or something. But it's a great way what he's done. I love it. I don't have a lot of comment in terms of this type of lyric to interpret it. Just imagery is my main thing for it.
Well, me too. I've got more questions than I have like interpretation. But yeah, there seems to be, so the chorus, oh, the dirt bike option paid off. And then it goes into talking about unionism and, you know, we never settle with the workers that we laid off. They said they'd see us in arbitration. So written in 99, this is still, this is like mid or early John Howard, you know, period of government where he's pursuing his neoliberal industrial relations reform, you know, allowable matters. And this is still before work choices, but he's trying to chisel away at enterprise bargaining, well, at wage bargaining, and trying to get in these AWAs and so forth and remove the unions from the workplace. So this could be a comment on Patrick Stevedores or the maritime strike or whatever. So when he says too busy building out dirt bike nation, I thought maybe it's a metaphor for like the casualization of the workforce or mick jobs that are there, you know, or maybe Coxie sort of seeing ahead in the future where we're going to have Uber Eats drivers who are, you know, paid shitty wages and the dirt bike nation of but obviously that's 15 years before. Maybe Coxie had a bit of foresight there. Kawasaki Yamaha who needs a car. So already he's planting the seed that he's thinking about Japanese engines, Kawasaki Yamaha. Then the next verse, we exercised the dirt bike option. We kept the keys together in a jam tin. That rhymes well. Then the feds came, we were blocking all the exit routes. And then you mentioned the bit before about a little wood, a little Kero and a matchstick. So maybe this person's burning down the warehouse to sort of claim the insurance, you know? I got the wife, I got the whole Messiah complex, and when it burns, we'll be turning up in heaven. So maybe alluding to phoenixing, like where you pretend your company's bankrupt, but then you create a new company to get out of paying your worker your entitlements. So when it burns, we'll be phoenixed as like be born again as a new company, and our workers won't, you know, I don't know when the federal entitlements guarantee came around, where you get, you know, 10 cents in the dollar from your bankrupt bold boss. But yeah, it's then action, can't get some action. The last verse, we exercised the dirt bike option. We got the contract signed with a felt pen. Yeah, I wonder why he said, if you sign something in a felt pen, is it not legally enforceable or something? Or I don't know. So the dirt bike option, maybe it's about like offshoring or something, or, you know, closing down the business, you know, outsourcing to India or something and getting out, paying your entitlements, the dirt bike option, some chicanery that the employer, the boss is doing, I don't know. But there's a lot, as Redman always says, Michael, you say there's a lot going on. There definitely is in these lyrics, but yeah, it's so funny. It's just funny. It just makes me laugh.
Oh, it makes me laugh so much. And just the imagery and just great lines. It's like a choice of some really, hey, these are really cool lines. That's a cool title. We exercise the dirt bike option. Opener, straight away, no intro, right into it. So it's about the imagery and the big picture of where are we taking us? And then we got the contract signed with the felt pen, one of my favorite parts. It's like some of the lyrics are my favorite parts. It's in, without knowing the lyrics and just hearing the song in the background, I go, oh, what's this? They're just singing about dirt bikes, you know? And then later on, listen to the song more and go, hang on, mate, what are you talking about? So it's just like disguised really well. So I love it.
Yeah, you do a bit of a double take there, but yeah, my interpretation is it's something to do about industrial relations. But he's using the metaphor of bikes with both, you know, that we've always got this option on the table, like a way we can restructure to get out of paying our entitlements. But then he's also talking about literal people on bikes. So maybe it's a transport union thing, I don't know. But yeah, it's just funny and I like it. And I don't mind the high-pitched vocals, but anything else to say about this song, Michael?
Nah, I've thoroughly explored it with you and the listeners and viewers and whatever not, and I absolutely love it. One of the best songs in the world. Okay, yes, I don't like the high vocals, but so maybe the live versions, but it's a really brilliant, well-written song, and for the whole single, as I said, Celebrate the Failure, this belongs well on it, and it's a good single to have, loving every single song on it.
I concur. The only thing I'll mention that just came to my mind is later on the self-titled album, they recorded a song called Bikies or Bikers that never appeared on the album. If you look at the sleeve of the album, it's written up on the A2 or the A0 chart, but they never recorded it. So maybe one day we'll find a copy of that and see if it's got any link to this dirt bike. Oh yeah.
Love to know about that for sure.
Well, Michael, many thanks for joining us on this episode. Of course, this show is called Foves Are the Best People, where we talk exclusively about the Foves.
So here's Ted's bass playing line in the second verse, and he doesn't do anything amazing or magical. It's just through the scales. It's like an octave on the G. We're on the G chord. That's what the guitar's doing. And he's doing a bit of an octave, and then he's just doing a few notes leading up to the octave that's within the scale. So and this is what the Ted sort of does in the bridge part. With a chord change, mine might be a bit variated to his feel, but you get the idea. He does a little bit of a feel, and it's appropriate, and I love it where he places it.
Option, option, option. Option, option, option.
You know, long hair, it always had a lot of different meanings to different people. It was threatening, but in different ways.
Biker culture changed.
Biker culture change, right. I mean, it's complicated. That would be a great book. I don't know if somebody's written that yet about the meaning of hair through the 60s and 70s. But like the guy in Easy Rider gets shot because he's a dirty hippie. But then like not long after that, you had what we now call right-wing bikers also growing their hair. So it's a symbol of freedom. It's self-expression. It's like, leave me alone, you know?
Just what is it that you want to do?
We want to be free. We want to be free to do what we want to do. We want to be free to ride. And we want to be free to ride our machines without being hassled by the man. And we want to get loaded. And we want to have a good time. And that's what we're going to do.
Well, where, baby? Let's go.
We're going to have a good time. We're going to have a party.
But, you know, do you feel that the level of acclaim that you guys have is adequate and or deserved for the sort of music that you play? Or do you ever sort of feel like, you know what, people should be listening to things like, I don't know, the Dirt Bike Option and songs like that? And I'm really picking out the deep cuts for that one, I'm aware. But
yeah, I mean, it's hard for me to say, obviously, how we should be recognised. I mean, of course, yeah, you do. You wouldn't still be in a band after this time. I mean, obviously, we think we're good and... And yeah, we've certainly been through periods where, you know, why aren't we more successful? Why don't more people like us? But I guess we've certainly become much more reconciled to that over the years. But yeah, like, you know, I think if you could get 20 people to write a history of Australian rock, and we might be a footnote in a couple of those books, you know, it's just for whatever reason, we've just been overlooked. And as I say, that's something that we've completely come to terms with now. You know, you sometimes think, God, wow, imagine if we'd been a US band, you know, maybe we'd be way bigger, you know, and we'd come to Australia and people would be, oh, these guys from the US, they're awesome. It's just part of it is also that Australian thing, I suppose, of you know, overlooking a lot of, I mean, there are so many acts in Australia and some of them still going who are in a pretty similar sort of basket to us. So, yeah, but I see, you know, I see overseas bands who have short, you know, fabulous careers and I do honestly think, yeah, I don't think they're as good as us, but I'm also hopelessly biased. So,
of course, yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of reluctant to take that too far, but obviously, yeah, I mean, we do have that self-deprecating thing, but it's probably more of a defense mechanism than anything. And behind that, we actually do think we're really good. Our music is really, really good. And I'm super proud of it. But just so much of that stuff's out of our hands. So you can, and we have been through times where we've beaten ourselves, twisted ourselves into knots over it. But to move on, you've kind of just got to let it go.
It's definitely a watch and see process. But of course, for a company like Kawasaki that produces Kawasaki motorbikes and a lot of the componentry doesn't necessarily come from the United States. So in our case, we're looking at components from Thailand, from Vietnam, and from Japan being assembled in the United States for the US market. But of course, the increase in the tariffs in the case of, say, for example, Vietnam being 46%. Makes for the bike to be probably a lot more expensive than it was last year. So there's a whole range of commercial decisions, but as you said in your intro, the Japanese trade negotiator or the delegation will leave for the United States, I think, the day after
tomorrow. I remember breaking down in far north Queensland with a mate when I was in my late teens, and he was mucking around with the fuel filter with a cigarette in his mouth. You know, sort of, but he'd been doing that his whole life, you know, he's in his 60s. And
dropping hot ash into a...
But, you know, a cigarette's not like a naked flame. You'd have to drop it in there to blow us all up. But I was clearly concerned. But it was one of those, we got stuck in this small town called Maryborough for the evening while they were fixing the car. They had to get a part from 2 hours down the road. And we went to the pub to get some dinner, and it was 6:15. And we walked in with our sort of early 90s ponytails, two gentlemen from the city, and they said, kitchen's closed. And then one of the locals walked in 5 minutes after us and ordered a T-bone steak and chips that arrived in front of us. So having pints of Tui's new lager for dinner. A packet of burger rings, which are a delicious snack.
Be careful with your ponytails, children.
Yeah, ponytails and make it flame.
Yeah.
He exercised the dirt bike option. Took the liberty of just, well, dropping it. We left our leathers and our cameras and our helmets on the lawn outside. Ooh, the dirt bike option paid off. We never settled with the workers that we laid off. They said they'd see us in arbitration. Too busy building out dirt bike nation. Kawasaki Yamaha, who needs a car? Action, 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 action.
He would carry a notebook around all the time, in which he would write down little phrases. He found the music easier than the lyrics, but both would essentially come the same way. He'd hit on a phrase, musical or lyrical, and spend weeks thinking about it and trying to connect it to other phrases he had lying around. It would take a long time, and he'd often have the music finished before the lyrics, which were increasingly more impressionistic than literal.
Do you and Ben ever co-write?
Well, we more bounce ideas off each other. Like, for example, I sent him the Cocaine Runaway as just a riff, like just the guitar riffs,
yeah.
And said, oh, what do you think of this? He's like, oh, I love the sound of it. And then I think he mentioned something about cocaine. I hadn't written any lyrics. And then something just triggered in me and I was like, great. I now know what direction to write in. Right. And I came up with the noir fantasy narrative that's in there. And that was the way it happened. So those kind of things, you know, if you're open and you can kind of spot little inspirations and you just drag, I think we use each other for that. But as far as sitting down and writing together, I don't think we've done that for a very long time.
We'd like to dedicate this song to Madeline, who requested it and is quite possibly our most faithful loyal fan. We love you, Madeline. Thank you for coming to all of our shows, and we felt it only proper that we should finally actually play something you wanted to hear.
And it's a B side. We don't tend to play many of our A sides, let alone our B sides. So this should be a bit of fun.
I hope they like the jazz version we're going to do of this policy.
Manchester Lane, you've got a jazz show book, so you might want to go down and see him with them. Probably there till about 6 a.m. It's a little duo, not on the drums, still on the bass. It doesn't sound like much, but it works.
We exercise the dirt bike option. We took the liberty of just, well, dropping in. We left our leathers and our helmets and our boots on the lawn outside. At the service station, the dude said you never bothered trying to fit in. He had his theories, but he wasn't going to share them with the likes of us. Ooh, the dirt bike option paid off. We never settled with the workers that we laid off. They said they'd see us in arbitration, too busy building our dirt bike nation. We exercised the dirt bike option. We kept the keys all together in a jam tin. And when the inspector came and knocked, we were blocking all the exits. A little wood, a little Carol, and a matchstick. I got the wives, I got the homicide complex. And when it burns, I'll be turning up in heaven. The dream will shine. Ooh, the dirt bike option paid off. They never settled with the workers that we laid off. They said they'd see us in arbitration, too busy building our dirt bike nation. Come on, help me, Madeline. What do I say? Ooh, the dirt bike option paid off. We never settled with the workers that we laid off. They said they see us in arbitration. Too busy building our dirt bike nation. Powers up, Pinky Yamaha. Who needs a car with that kind of action?
Woo!
Woo!
Oh, that was so good. I love those.
Should have been on an album.
Awesome, man, yeah.
Should have been.
I love that song now so much.
Triple J would have kicked it up in a heartbeat. That's
Monster Truck.
Yeah.
Monster Truck.